ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Hello, and welcome to episode 256 of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. We're here today with Chef Charles Carroll, an award-winning author, inspirational speaker, producer, culinary Olympic gold medalist, and the creator and producer of Operation Hot for Honoring Our Troops. Charles is a former president of the World Chefs Board and is the host of the Recipe Podcast. Charles, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jordan. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure. So the first question I'd like to pose to you, Charles, is what are you currently doing or what have you ever done to advance the public interest and why?
Well, I mean, I'm involved in a lot of different projects. My real job, my paying job, is River Oaks Country Club in Houston. But I've been involved in written three different books. The latest is coming out actually this month. They're called The Recipe, and it's a real special book that's meant to touch people's hearts. And it's had a lot of great reviews. We're excited about that. And been involved in a lot of Operation Hot, honoring our troops. We brought a lot of shows over to our troops in Afghanistan. That was pretty amazing, and giving out a lot of hugs, and also involved a lot of fundraisers and programs here at the club.
So tell me a little bit more about that Operation Hot. We'll dive into how you became a chef and everything you've been doing, but sounds like you're building a brand, you're working at a country club in Texas, and then all of a sudden you decide that you're going to head over to Afghanistan and feed an entire army. What was going through your mind? How did that come to pass?
Well, a friend of mine wanted to do that, and his name is John Fultz. He wanted to do it many years ago, like back in 08, 09, or 10, and we were going to go over the 4th of July and feed the troops and do a little cooking show, and that fell through because the vice president decided to go over last second, so they scrapped our mission, and so that was always in my head ever since then. So I developed it myself, Operation Honoring Our Troops, and I put together a team of 20 celebrities and a 10 support team from Kuwait. We traveled with 30,000 pounds of show gear. We fed 5,000 troops. We gave away 5 tons of gifts, and we did 5 shows. The major one was right there in Kandahar for 6 or 7 hours. And then we did 4 other ones in forward operating bases. We jumped in some Chinook helicopters and went outside the wire into FOBs, and that was really intense.
Tell me more about that. What was that like?
Well, I mean, you know, you can imagine, you know, it's a live war zone, and the main base is I never felt threatened, but you know, there's 30,000 troops on that base from all over the world, and but you just never know, and there's missions going out, you know, every hour. And then the general gave us his security team, and we got into 2 Chinook helicopters, and that was just really surreal, spooky, kind of surreal. And we're going into these bases, and there's over 250 bases, forward operating bases in Afghanistan. So you have your main base, and then they kind of push out these rings of security and keep pushing them out further and further, and that's what they call the FOBs, forward operating bases. And so we brought the show to the troops that don't get shows. You know, they're, you know, I don't want to say the prison camps, but they're, you know, they're wired, fenced-in areas that hold, you know, a couple hundred troops, and it's pretty intense. And we give out some hugs, man. I tell you that, you know, it's so emotional for me, Jordan, that you know, there's several troops that talked to me about suicide. They gave me notes to give to their, you know, when you get back to the States, please call my mom and tell them that you saw me and that I'm fine and I'm okay and those kind of things. And it was, it's life-changing.
Wow. And that's all through cooking, through coming over there and just giving them a warm meal.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I had some great celebrities. I had Lou Holtz from Notre Dame, and I had Robert Irvine from Restaurant Impossible, and I had a YouTube band. I had all kinds of, you know, comedians and stuff like that, and it was a hell of a show. I mean, it was, you know, lights, camera, action, music. It was all choreographed. It was, you know, message from presidents. I had 5 messages from presidents videotaped directly to them from Rudy Giuliani, from celebrities, Because the first time I realized that some of the troops are so upset. You know, they were supposed to be only there for 8 months or 9 months, and they're there a year and a half, and they're mad and they're upset, and they don't even know why they're fighting and these kinds of things. So it was important to me to bring them the message that, hey, we haven't forgotten about you. We care about you. And it's a funny thing about the food, because it's not easy. There is no civilian ever to do this. I'm the only civilian ever to do Operation HOD. It's a self-put-together program. I did everything from my office here. 90% of the money was donated by our members. And the only way you're going to go over to Afghanistan or a war zone to do a show is if you go through USO or MWR, through the military. But we kind of changed that. I had some great connections. And but back to the food, you know, it's funny. We have videotape of some of these guys saying, you know, the show is great and meeting the celebrities are great, but we're really excited about this food.
Yeah.
And they were standing in line. It's 120 degrees out, and they were standing in line for hours to get to that the Cajun Creole meal we brought them.
Wow. So you've really gone beyond just being a chef employed in a restaurant and a country club. You've gone from the Culinary Institute of America to multiple to now having books and being a speaker and having your own podcast and competing on television shows. I mean, it took a lot to get to the point where you're creating television shows that you could even bring them to Afghanistan. Tell me a little bit about how you evolved as a chef from somebody who as a kid just probably loved food to somebody who's able to cook and then create a whole multimedia experience where you're bringing cooking in the kitchen into other people's homes.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that question. You know, I grew up in a country inn, family-owned business, and as your listeners know, if you're in a family-run business, you're working 8 days a week and you're shoveling snow, fixing fireplaces, and helping guests, and guests are constantly in your home. So I was brought up different than a lot of people. But yeah, I thought it was a great thing. I mean, the discipline I learned from my mom and dad were amazing. But I was cooking breakfast starting in third grade, and I've only had three cooking jobs all my life, and that was the Balsams Resort in northern tip of New Hampshire and Oak Hill Country Club in Rochester, one of the most famous golf courses in the country and the world, and then now here at River Oaks for the last almost 18 years. So, but it's all about dreams, man. If I could just, you know, inspire your listeners, you know, I would, you know, encourage everyone to find that thing inside them, that thing we're all put on earth, you know, we have something special about us, you got to find it. And some people don't ever find it. Some people find it and don't dare to act on it. And I would just like to encourage everybody to find it, you know, find that thing that makes you jump out of bed in the morning and then have the courage to jump and make it happen. And that's the story of my life. You know, I'm a big dreamer. You know, this book, the recipe that's coming out this month, we now have movie interest on it. You know, and I started this project 8 years ago. And I just keep my mantra is I just keep pounding and pounding and pounding until those doors open.
So what is it about, what does cooking mean to you?
I mean, cooking and in the hospitality field is wonderful. It's beautiful. It's it's a son of a gun at the same time. And it's early mornings, late nights, weekends and holidays. It's not an easy business. But food affects everybody every day, and food is part of any celebration, however you look at it. Well, it's a celebration of a birth or of a communion or part of life or anniversaries or everyday family sitting around the table, which is not happening as much as we'd like it to, or to celebrate life itself at the end of our time. So food is special, and the hospitality, I mean, we have opportunities to break bread with people and stand in the kitchen with your friends. And it's from the heart, you know. There's a lot of great honorable professions. There's a lot of great ones out there, but not to pick on, well, let's say, electrician. You know, electricians say, hey, you know, why don't you come over to my house and we're going to fix a couple light switches. You know, you don't do that, but you oftentimes go over to your friend's house and stand around the kitchen and have a glass of wine and someone's cooking from their favorite family recipe. So cooking's it's special to me.
And how did you recognize that it was a calling? As you mentioned, everyone eats every day. many listeners have cooked in the last 24 hours for themselves, just made some dinner after work. But, of course, cooking is a whole lot more to you. Many people, they cook just to eat because they're hungry and then it's done. But for you, it's a career, it's a passion, it's a calling. You said that everyone ought to find something special within themselves. How did you come to recognize that becoming a chef would allow you to actualize that something special, that je ne sais quoi inside of you?
Yeah, I think at first, my first aha moment was when I was at the Balsam Resort. I might have been age 24, 25, something like this. And I became the executive chef at a 4-star, 4-diamond resort. And I think the aha moment was when I was leading, you know, as a culinary team of 65 at the time. And we had a strong apprenticeship program there of 17 to 20 young people that were in an apprenticeship program. They were there to study. And they were like Green Berets, you know. They were there. They were laser focused. And I just got back to my first Olympics, winning my first gold medal. And I guess my aha moment was that these kids were there and they're willing to chew off the table, do whatever it takes to be successful. They wanted it bad. And they would listen, they would hang on my every word. And so it was a great responsibility to fulfill their need and to study myself and stay on top of my game so I can lead them. And they would jump in foxholes with me, you know, back then. So then I realized, you know what, this is pretty great. You know, I can have a great impact on these young people's lives. And I think that was probably the aha moment for me. And then it just kept every year, Jordan, is special for me. I mean, I'm doing projects now that I wasn't even dreaming about in January. So I'm in a really great place in my career right now. We have a lot of projects that we're throwing in the air, and a lot of them are it's starting to get exciting. So things are really starting to happen.
So I hear you speaking about your ability to influence and impact others. I think something that comes naturally to a chef is fundamentally you're preparing food for other people. You're trying to help other people enjoy an evening, enjoy an afternoon. You're always giving food to other people, and that's the nature of the job. But it seems as though there's a simultaneous, concurrent with your ability to provide and to give to customers the food, you're also able to influence and impact the other chefs and the younger chefs. So it sounds like while you're cooking, you're able to advance, kind of provide, be a mentor simultaneously with providing, I guess, helping other people find enjoyment in their daily lives. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, it sure does. It's totally accurate. You know, as you get older in life, you know, light bulbs start to go off in your head, and you start to have these epiphanies that you things do resonate with you deeper. You know, you start to slow down a little bit. You start to think about things a little bit more. You start to think about your health. You start to think about the impact you have on others. And instead of scratching, clawing, and just trying to race up the ladder, I think at least in my case, you slow down a little bit and you try to force yourself to stop and look around you. You know, put your hand on people's shoulders and smell the roses and just enjoy life and try to, you know, there's nothing better, there's not a better feeling to see somebody else be successful and that you had a small part in that. I mean, that's, you know, we're on this earth a very short time. And, you know, I hate to see anybody waste it. That's why I encourage people so much, you know, to find that thing that makes them jump out of bed in the morning and they can just recreate themselves.
Was there somebody at the Culinary Institute of America or elsewhere who served as a mentor to you?
Well, Ferdinand Metz, who was the president at the time when I was there, he was a friend of my dad's, and he was one of the most brilliant culinary minds of our time here in the U.S. He was a mastermind, and I always looked up to him. And then the Olympic teams, you know, my dad showed me an Olympic video when I was in high school. And ever since I saw that video, I wanted to be on an Olympic team. And then when I went to CIA, I saw the chefs that were in the movie were actually instructors there. So I chased them around. I was like a gym rat, you know, like a roadie, and, you know, chasing these guys and begging them to work with them or or to whatever work on projects with them. So, yeah, I mean, the whole thing was an inspiration. That's an amazing school.
What is it that makes a mastermind? What is it that allows you to win the Olympic gold medal, the culinary Olympic gold medal? What is it that makes you? What is it that distinguishes a very talented chef from someone else? What's the difference?
Well, the most talented chef from anybody else, it's the passion, because truly fantastic, wonderful food comes from the heart, and fantastic, wonderful food sometimes takes longer. There's a lot of different ways to make a grilled cheese or to make whatever you want to make, but chances are the most fantastic way takes a little bit longer, and you have to be passionate about it, and you have to care about where that product came from. And, you know, I see young people in the kitchen all the time whacking off 3-4 inches from a celery root and throwing the trash. They have absolutely no respect where that celery stalk came from and what it took to get to the table and to actually to smell, you know, celery. What's, to really make something wonderful. But it's all about passion and heart and to be really, you know, really care about the product and where it came from. An angry chef can't make good food. You know, you have to be passionate. And you know, you've been into homes, Jordan, where you go into and you might have seen someone's mom or your grandmother, you know, standing over the stove with an apron on, and she's making this dish that she's made 100 times, and you just can't wait to have it around the holidays. That's coming from the heart, you know. That's your grandmom or your mom that just loves what they do and loves that one dish. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
What are you hoping that people who are eating your food are experiencing?
Well, you know, I'm blessed here at the club that, you know, we have some people that, you know, travel the world and have some pretty awesome palates. So, well, I have a lot of opportunity to let our hair down and really, really come out of the box. And we do some, you know, if I have a member that comes up to me and says, "Chef, you know, remember that meal you did for us 2 years ago for our anniversary, and I can barely remember what we did last week," and they say, "You did," and they'll describe the dish perfectly from 2 years ago. That's the biggest compliment I can ever get, you know, where, I mean, you impacted that person, you know, and we're fortunate where we can do some meals that people get up from and say, "Well, I got letters. I'm looking around right now, hanging on the wall, saying, 'Chef, that a meal that you did the other night was the most amazing dining experience I've ever had.'" And that's when you know you're making an impact on somebody.
Does it ever? I guess when you're cooking the food, does the food ever serve? Do you prefer if it becomes the main focal point and everyone's focusing on it and closing their eyes and speaking about the food? Or has it ever come to pass that the food that you cook is merely ambiance? It's something they're having a business meeting, or they're just catching up with old friends and they're ordering food at the same time. Is the food ever not the focus of the conversation?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to lie to you. I mean, it's all the above. I mean, you just mentioned, you know, we have here at the club, we have 3 different restaurants, 6 kitchens. I have 75, a staff of 75, and we do 80 to 100 parties a week. So, I mean, we're busy. We're a smoking busy property. And we have the business lunches going on every single day. So someone's ordering an omelet at lunchtime, you know, or someone's ordered a chicken fried steak. You know, we're in Houston, you know, so that's all going on. And it could be the best chicken fried steak they've ever had. Our members love our fried chicken. So there's all of that going on. And then we have the ones where you close your eyes and you have no idea what state you're in. We're doing those kind of meals as well. So, it's a great responsibility. We're feeding a lot of people, and that's important. And we're doing, we do everyone's holiday here, obviously, at the club, so that's important.
Is it ever different cooking for yourself and or a loved one as compared to cooking on the job?
I only that I probably get a chance to breathe a little bit more when I'm at home, and And I mean, there's nothing better, you know, at this point in my life. I don't get a chance to sit down with my entire family a lot. You know, both my kids have, they've graduated, and they're incredibly wonderful, successful kids. And so they're outside the house. So if I can be at my dinner table with my two beautiful kids, I mean, that just shines over everything. Yeah.
So Charles, we're approaching the end of this podcast episode. So I'd like to ask you a final two-part question, which is, to speak to the guests of the country club where you work now in Houston, Texas. And I'd like you to take a moment and speak to them about why it is that you have taken pleasure in providing them pleasure, why you've given of yourself to bring a hot meal, Cajun meal to the troops in Afghanistan. Why is it that you're seeking to use your celebrity chef status to bring more joy into people's lives? And what do you think ultimately is the impact and the legacy of your work to bring that joy and to inspire pleasure and memories in others?
Well, I mean, if we can make someone smile, you know, someone posted something on Instagram the other day, and it was a perfectly roasted ribeye on top of a grill, and it had some melted butter and some rosemary on it, and it was kind of like a black and white picture. It was a buddy of mine. All it was a piece of meat on a grill, and it just brought a smile to my face because I could see the love in it. I could see it was carefully taken care of. It was perfectly caramelized. The butter was beautiful on it, and it brought a smile to my face. And when I'm able to do that for our members, and the members respect it, the members have traveled all over the world. They have their favorite restaurants all over the city. Houston's a wonderful dining city. And then when they can say, "Chef, I just love your food," or "I just love what you do for us, we're so proud to have you here," or "We're so lucky to have you here," if I can bring a smile to their face, I mean, I go home, you know, kind of evaluating my day, you know, and say, "We made a lot of people happy today." I mean, that's a really great feeling. And I have a lot to owe to the members. They're amazing people. They're very generous people. They helped our staff when times are tough. They helped me with Operation Hot, you know, financially they're just really beautiful people. So I'm every day I drive down River Oaks Boulevard and I say to myself, I'm the chef at River Oaks Country Club. I'm really proud of that. And I guess as far as myself, I would like for people to remember me as the guy who, you know, wanted to touch people's hearts and wanted to help people, that wanted to put smiles on the face, that helps the staff be successful. I mean, my first two books, Leadership Lessons from a Chef, Finding Time to Be Great, and Tasting Success, are both for, they're being used in 70 schools around the United States and parts of the world to help people chase their goals. The same thing with my podcast, the Recipe Podcast. I'm doing that to touch people's hearts. So when you make your dreams about other people, you make them bigger than you, you make them bigger than who you are, and you help other people achieve their dreams, I mean, doors start opening so fast for you, so much quicker. So that's kind of where I'm at in my life right now. And the recipe, I mean, how blessed can I be? A story of lost love and the ingredients of greatness is, you know, very close to becoming a movie. I'm thrilled right now.
Well, we'll look forward to that movie. And for our listeners, that has been Chef Charles Carroll, an award-winning author, inspirational speaker, producer, culinary Olympic gold medalist, who was former president of the World Chefs Board, host of the Recipe Podcast. And he speaks about a passion that he has for food and how his passion for food comes from the heart. And that he's willing to take more time to make something wonderful in order to bring smiles to people's faces and touch people's hearts. He's about creating memories and providing an environment in which those memories can be formed. And ultimately, as he helps others achieve their dreams and help provide people with lasting positive memories or even a simple smile at the end of the day, Chef Charles advances the public interest through those smiles, through those hearts, and through his work as a chef. So, Chef Charles, I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure, Jordan.
This has been another episode of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. I'll remind you to subscribe on publicinterestpodcast.com and on iTunes. Leave a review of this podcast on iTunes and listen on Stitcher, SoundCloud, CastBox, Blueberry, Player FM, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Should you wish to comment on this episode, you're welcome to leave a voicemail at 240-630-0380. And the first 3 minutes of that voicemail may be played in future episodes of Public Interest Podcast. Should you wish to support the podcast, you're welcome to leave a contribution in an amount that you feel comfortable with at publicinterestpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.